Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Samina Spin. I'm your host, Samina Mughal. Welcome to episode 10, Trusting the Process. If you are listening live, you can call in and add your take on the process. The number to call is 323-642-1775. Again, the number is 323-642-1775. Hope everyone is doing well this evening. Like I said, this podcast is Trusting the Process, and I'm going to talk about times when I've had to trust the process. So I'm going to start us off with a quote like I always do. And today, our quote is from the great Prince, who said two simple words, don't think. That's easier said than done. Thinking is pretty much what I've done all day, every day, for most of my life. Telling someone not to think seems like pretty odd advice, actually. It really isn't, though. Honestly, you should think just enough to work through whatever it is you're focused on and act accordingly. Many of us sit there and analyze or harp on unnecessary details. So many of us, like myself, end up overthinking. But if you just think enough to process, you're good. Harping on details, not so good. The other thing a lot of us do is go on autopilot. We mechanically do whatever it is and aren't really present. The reason for that is that we're thinking about what we're going to do next. That's been the case for a lot of my life. Get it done and keep it moving. That's the mantra. What was I doing while I was getting it done and keeping it moving? Obsessing over being correct, worrying about someone's reaction or perception, being anxious about reaching the goal, obsessing over the details of what the goal should look like, feel like, how long it should take. In my case, it wasn't just trusting the process that I needed to figure out. It was paying attention to it in the first place. Here's a good example of that. I fixed my own toilet once. This is a big deal because I am not a misfix-it handy type of person. I'll either pay someone, or since I'm Indian, I'll try to get out of paying someone and ask someone I know to fix it. When that toilet valve or whatever the hell it was broke, I had someone I could ask who would have fixed it for me. He pissed me off, so I wasn't giving him the satisfaction of admitting I needed his help by asking him. Instead, I looked up whatever it was on YouTube, went to Home Depot to find the part, and got to work. I can't tell you to this day what I fixed or how I fixed it. I wasn't focused on the steps I took or absorbing anything to learn something new. I wanted to get it done. Making my point was an added bonus. I do a lot of things like that. I figure it out and I get it done. At the same time, the only thing I'm focused on is getting to the result. I used to say that since I'm a quick study, that I only remember things in the moment when I need them. When the moment passes, I forget about it. Again, a large part of that is me not being fully present to begin with. I just want to get to the end result. That end result is usually a prepackaged idea I have in my head, and it has to be how I envisioned it, or it's not good enough. I lost out on great experiences because of that. I first flirted with the idea of journalism in college after I decided law school was a no-go. More about that in a minute. I did an internship with an alumni magazine on campus. Few assignments where I had to go to an event and approach people to ask some questions. Since I'm an introvert, it really felt unnatural to me. Then the woman I worked with decided along the way she didn't like me and let me go from the internship. Now, mind you, on an internship, you don't get paid. she disliked me so much that the fact that she wasn't paying me didn't persuade her to keep me around. So maybe I could actually learn something. So that says a lot about how much she didn't like me. I wasn't perfect, I know that. And I had learning to do, but she was just nasty to me. It got to a point where she just looked for me to make a mistake and purposely led me to make mistakes. I later worked with someone in the affirmative action office on campus, and she actually thought I was discriminated against. I don't think so. The witch I worked with was nice in the beginning. I think if she was going to discriminate against me, she wouldn't have given me the internship to begin with. When it shifted, it shifted. That's all it was. I don't think my brownness had anything to do with it. Needless to say, I dropped the journalism idea. I let that experience affect me to the point where I wanted nothing to do with it. I thought it would be fun, and it wasn't, largely because of who I was working with. I didn't stop and think there could be other avenues where I could excel within journalism. Now that I look back on it, I realize that I interviewed people at their homes. It was good in that aspect. I made the person feel comfortable. And for some reason, me sitting in a comfortable environment rather than going to an event and asking people questions just felt more natural and comfortable to me. I didn't look at that at the time. And I didn't think I could have looked into writing a column. I think I would have been good at that. I do a blog now. I think I'm pretty good at that. But at the time, I didn't see all of that. I changed course before allowing myself to see what could unfold. That was for many reasons. My one bad experience made me believe it was all bad and I wasn't cut out for it. At that time, I was overly concerned with being practical and wanted to do something that was more steady and realistic anyway. I didn't allow for growing into something. It had to be perfect right away. I was rash in my decision making because I felt a solid decision and a solid path had to happen. Again, the outcome. Somewhere along the line, I recognized what a recipe for anxiety that was, thank God. Like, just wanting a result, wanting the destination. That does create anxiety. I'm not saying to have a goal or to not have a goal and be focused on it. What I am saying is to try to either enjoy or derive some sort of satisfaction along the way. The best way to do that is to be fully present while you're in the middle of something. The other thing that I used to do is think about the next thing when I knew whatever I was doing would be quick, easy, and not require too much thought. Again, not fully present. Let me give you an idea of what I mean. It used to take me 4 hours to clean a 2-bedroom condo, for God's sake. Now, it might take me an hour and a half, tops. Now, it only takes me a quarter of the time because I'm fully present. It's that simple. It's easy to trust the process and be focused when it's simple things like fixing something in your house or completing a task where you can see an immediate result. But it's a little more difficult when you don't see the outcome right away or it's not what you wanted to start with. That's that control thing that gets in the way. The most beautiful things can come when your path deviates in a way that you didn't expect. Even if it's something unpleasant, there is usually a lesson in it. I was in a situation where I should have walked away sooner, but I wanted to see the good that could potentially happen. Instead of trusting what was happening in front of me and taking the steps from what was already unfolding, I was holding on to what could unfold. It wasn't just one thing in one period of time, like my internship. It was a series of blatant signs over years that I blatantly ignored because I wanted a certain outcome. That ended up being painful, but I learned. Pay attention to what's going on around you. Trust it. Believe it. Some of my greatest lessons and blessings came from the unexpected. When I got to college, I already decided that English was going to be my major because I was going to law school. In my first semester, I knew law school wasn't for me. I didn't want to do the work I was supposed to do for a regular course load. How was I going to do the more than likely triple course load and work required for law school? It wasn't going to happen, and I knew it. I knew. I barely worked in undergrad. I can't imagine how much more work law school is. It's probably 3 or 4 times the amount of work undergrad is. So I knew myself. I knew I wasn't going to make it to law school. More than likely, I probably wasn't even going to get into law school. But we'll never know because I recognized where my limit was right away. And in that case, it was a good thing. Yet somehow, I was okay with letting go of a 6-year plan. Since I was 13, I knew I wanted to be a lawyer. And then over the course of a few months, when I was 19, I knew I wasn't going to be a lawyer. I made that shift pretty easily, which is surprising. Since my second thought was journalism or publishing, that led to my ill-fated internship. I didn't allow that to unfold, but that led me in another direction where I did allow the unfolding. My junior year, I became a graduate assistant for a race and ethnic relations class. I meandered into that because I was a sociology minor and needed the credit for a higher level class I was taking. I don't remember what led me to minor in sociology, but oh well. As a graduate assistant, I had to facilitate a smaller group of students. At the end of the semester, a lot of the students said they learned so much from the class and the group. It made me feel good that I was a part of that growth. That's when I decided I wanted to be a teacher. A blessing came from me just allowing myself to figure out what excited me. That's also easy to do when you're 21 and overflowing with possibility. I was excited to pick and choose which possibility of the many that were in front of me. I did it without judgment. I let the process of growth and discovery happen, and I went with it. At that time, I wasn't afraid of where it would take me. It led me to a career that fulfilled me for a long time when I wasn't overly obsessed with getting every minute of every day right. Changed as I got older. I went back to having a set idea of where my life should be. And I held on to it for dear life. I worried about how I was perceived at my teaching job because it may lead me to looking bad or worse, not having a job. Everything was kind of fatal at that time. Okay, this could happen, and this could happen, and this could happen, and that could lead to something even worse happening. So this is how my brain worked. More judgment crept in. Of course, other people judge me. People do that all day long. But what was worse is I judged me. I judged all the moves that I made. I had a set idea of me not fitting in where I work for various reasons. And so for a good bit of time, I didn't fit in. I was in my little shell, just knowing I wouldn't fit in, so I gave myself a self-fulfilling prophecy, and then I didn't fit in. So I was left with judging and then noticing other people judging me, and it was just a mess. I made it through because one thing I can say about myself is that I just have an innate intelligence, and that gets me through. And I should have recognize that and put that at the forefront anyway. But I got there eventually. So all of this made it so much more difficult for me because I lost sight of letting the unfolding happen again. I found that my life goes so much smoother when I just let the unfolding happen. And when I worry about the unfolding or I try to dictate my head what the unfolding should be, that's where the problems come. It's actually ironic that over 20 years later, I am allowing the unfolding to happen in my career as a writer when I didn't allow it to earlier. Right, I was an English major, so I love irony, so that's cool. The unfolding is where the real joy is. At 21, for about 5 minutes, I understood that. As you choose the option that excites you most and use that as a springboard, that's what leads you to success. Pay attention to and enjoy the steps along the way. Even if you don't see what you want right away. I've had to learn that in my life after being frustrated with myself, banging my head against the wall. I've really just had to learn, pay attention, and find a way to enjoy what you're doing. It will all work out if you do that. I've had to remind myself of that over the years. And I have my ups and downs too. I have my ebb and flow because I live in a physical world. What's physically in front of me gets in my way. When I take a minute, pause, and just look at the steps I'm taking and find a way to enjoy it, it all works itself out. Shakespeare wrote, "Love all, trust a few, do harm to none." Make sure one of the few things that you trust is your own journey. If you like what you've heard in this podcast and would like to hear more, I have two books available on Amazon, Scheherazade's Daughters and the Siddiqui Brothers in Cairo. If you would like to read my Behind and Beyond the Veil blog, you can check it out on www.SaminaKMughal.com. Until next time, that's the Samina Spin. Good night and love and light.